Morning. It's good to be with you today. Appreciate your prayers for me the last few days as I was undergoing another kidney stone adventure. So thank you for your concern and your prayers. This morning we're going to continue in our study in Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. And it was read for us this morning. This section is talking about putting up treasures in heaven. It's interesting when you look at what Jesus taught during his ministry, the things that he chose to speak about, and the majority of the time he was not talking about politics, he was not talking about work, and he did talk about sexual immorality and marriage and those kind of things, but he probably talked about money and wealth more than those things in some of his messages. So it indicates that wealth is a problem, and that those that seek wealth or are greedy for it, it's something that stands in the way of true righteousness if the wrong emphasis is put on that. So God created us to be treasure seekers. Obviously, He wants us to seek treasures in heaven, but the problem is people are often pursuing the wrong treasure. And so Jesus addressed this issue to correct us so that we can belong to His kingdom and we can be true disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So Jesus begins here with a very, very simple command. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. So does this mean that we can't have any possessions at all? Does this mean that we can't possess anything, or that we cannot possess anything that some might consider to be excessive? And, some might be tempted to move in that direction with this teaching, but I don't think that really fits the picture of what we see of righteous people in the Scriptures who were blessed by God with wealth. There were those that were blessed by God with wealth, and they needed to use those things in the correct way. So there's not a condemnation of owning possessions in this verse. This is not a condemnation that it's wrong for you to own things or have nice things. But we are warned that these things can steal our hearts. These things can be way too important to us, and they can interfere with our service to God. So it's not a condemnation of simply owning the possessions, but it's the pursuit of possessions that really causes people to have a great danger in their lives. And certainly we can see that it's true that people can seek after money, they can seek after things, they can put their job and seeking after wealth above many things, above their family, above their friends, and above their God. So this pursuit of possessions is something that can be a problem, and the accumulation process here is warned about as well. So what we see here is that there's a contrast that's given to us in this command that do not lay up and store up treasures on earth, but to store up treasures in heaven. And so don't make treasures on earth your treasure. Make your treasure in heaven. And that is going to be something that is a challenging statement for many. And many that Jesus was talking to would be challenged by that, and it's challenging for many of us today. So what does it look like in our lives? What are we doing? Are we storing up for ourselves treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? How would you appear to someone else when they look at you? Are you more concerned with spiritual things or earthly things? Are you accumulating things for yourself in heaven or treasures on earth? Jesus gives us some reasons why we must not do this, and it's pretty obvious the reasoning here why we would not store up for ourselves treasures on earth. The first reason that he gives is that everything that we accumulate for ourselves does not last. Y'all all still own your first car, right? Everybody here still owns the first car that they have. Maybe some of you that are younger still do. I'll show you the beautiful car that was my first car. And I consider this my first car because this was my car. I didn't have to share it with my brother. We had a car in high school that we shared, but I didn't consider it mine. But this is my Datsun B210. You still see me riding around in that today, right? No, it would not work. There's no telling what junkyard that is in. Those of you that are young have never heard of a Datsun before, but you know, Datsun is now Nissan. They changed the name of the company. And this was quite a sporty car in the day, you know. And it had a great 8-track player in it, too. So that was my treasure. You know, it's kind of sad that it was my treasure, but it was. And this is another treasure that I had. My first cell phone was BlackBerry. And people don't know what that is anymore. So you still have those things, right? You still have those treasures. Your first car, your first cell phone. What about your first leisure suit? You got that? And that is not a picture of me, but it does represent some of the clothes that were popular in my day. And so, you know, these things, I don't think a leisure suit was ever considered a treasure. But what you see here is that we understand the problem here. These things get old. They wear out. They're out of style. They're not popular anymore. They don't work. I mean, if you could find a BlackBerry like that today, you couldn't find a phone service to hook it up to, probably. So these things, they get old, they wear out, they break, they don't work like they used to. But at one point, you know, that BlackBerry, you wanted to upgrade to the one that had the color screen, you know, so that you could have the latest thing. So when we contrast these kind of things to what heaven offers, the treasures of heaven are permanent. They are lasting. They are worth something. They do not wear out. And so it doesn't take much for us to understand this, but it is a challenging truth. When you consider, you know, when you die, how important will your accumulated wealth be? Well, you know, what value will these things be? Your wealth and your possessions and all that you have? That's what Jesus is trying to emphasize here. Put these things in proper perspective. Treasure heavenly treasures, because those are the only things that are going to last. The problem is that we're often greedy without realizing that we're greedy. It's very subtle. And you know, everybody thinks that what they're doing with money or what they're doing with wealth, it's necessary. Because nobody thinks that they are accumulating wealth. No one looks at themselves, I'm laying up treasures on earth. We don't usually think about that. No one, you know, thinks to themselves, well, I sure am materialistic. We think others are materialistic, but certainly not us. And it's easy how these things can capture our minds and capture our hearts. So this command that Jesus is giving his disciples, it really requires some honesty with ourselves. You know, Jesus does not give an amount here and say, you know, if you're laying up this much, then you're laying up treasures on earth. So there's not an amount given. He doesn't say, now, if you have more than 6 days of wealth or 6 months of food stored up for the future, you know, then you're storing up treasures on earth. It's a question of the heart, like many things are. It's, what do you love? What is it do you love? What is it that you prize? What is the most important thing to you? What is it that you desire? Do you desire eternal riches or earthly riches? Or do you think you desire both? And right now you want to desire the earthly ones, and more about the eternal ones later. So this is the point here of verse 21, where Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, you know, what happens to your treasure is what's going to happen to you. Where your treasure is where you are. And that's, it really is a mirror into the heart. So, you know, we can carry on the routine of attending services and going through the motions while having our heart not in the right place. It's very possible to do that, to go through the motions spiritually, but to really have your heart set on earthly things instead. And so the location of our treasure really indicates where our heart already is. And that's what Jesus is saying. Notice again that Jesus is not saying that possessions is the problem. He does not say that things are the problem. The problem is that you're trying to chase after things and accumulate things without regard to the other part of your life. So you have to examine your heart and ask yourself some questions to see if you're laying up treasures on earth or treasures of heaven. It's a very easy question. What's the most important thing to you? What do you worry about the most? What do you think about the most? What occupies your thoughts and desires? Do you think about spiritual things and growing spiritually? Do you think about your family and what kind of example you are to your family in bringing up your children spiritually? Or are you more concerned about what you are giving them physically and what kind of toys they can have or what kind of life that you can give them financially? What is it that you dread losing the most? What do we measure others by? Do we measure others by the things that they have and their status? What is it that you can't be happy without? Jesus is telling us that we need to consider these things because what controls our heart controls our behavior, doesn't it? Whatever controls our heart controls our behavior, and the things that you treasure are going to control you. It's the reason that people make the decisions that they do in their life, because they've decided what's going to be their master. And Jesus tells us here that you've got one or two choices and you can't serve two masters. He also says, interestingly, here in verse 22, that you've got two eyes. And he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So it's easy to come to this passage here and think, he's changing gears here. He's changed the subject of the lesson. But if you look at the context of this, it doesn't seem that he's left behind the discussion of treasures in heaven, because in verse 24, you're going to see that he's going to jump and warn about serving two masters, serving God or money. So it doesn't seem that he's switching gears here and going from one subject and then back to the original subject. So, what point is Jesus making here when he talks about our eyes and to consider our eyes in regard to earthly treasure? First, he says that the eye is the lamp of the body. And he tells us that if your eye is healthy, then your whole body will receive light. We all understand that when it comes to our eyes. We want our eyes to be good, and we understand if they're not good and we can't see, that certainly affects our whole life. If your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. And it's a simple image that we can understand. So I believe what Jesus is saying here is, what is it that you're looking at in life? What is it that you are focusing on? What is your eye set on? What is it you're looking at? The way that we look at wealth, the way that we look at treasure or possessions, certainly is an indicator of what our spiritual temperature is and what our spiritual condition is. Wealth is not something to set apart from God. It's a blessing from God. Wealth is not something that we are encouraged to hoard and accumulate and put so much emphasis on, but we see it as a blessing from God to enjoy and to use. So do we see what we have as God's blessing to us to use in our life and enjoy with our family and to be able to help others with that and to help advance the work of God in his kingdom? or are we selfish with those things? So the condition of the eye really determines it. You know, what your body is doing. Is your body receiving light, or is your body receiving darkness? The condition of the eye is very important. And so it also is obvious that the heart is in play here. That if the condition of the eyes is not right, that you've got something that's blocking your spiritual vision. You could say that Jesus is telling us that if we are continuing to focus on money and possessions, then we have a problem. And it's a problem that needs to be fixed, because whatever you're focusing on, whatever you're staring at, it's going to affect your heart. You know, this time of year, it's very difficult to go into a store and not see Halloween candy, right? And so what happens if you buy it early? Well, you eat it all, and you don't have any later. So the best thing to do is to not buy it, because what's going to you just can't have it sitting there and not eat a few pieces. And if you wait till after Halloween, it's all going to be 50% off, and you could eat a bunch of it. So, but you know what we look at, what is there affecting us? You know, our eyes see it, and our eyes react to it, and that's why Jesus talks about the eyes in regard to lust. That your eyes corrupt you when you seek after and you look at the wrong things. Wealth is also that way. It corrupts the heart. Envy and jealousy, they corrupt the heart. Rivalry corrupts the heart. And to address the problem, Jesus is saying your eyes are very important. Quit looking at the wrong things. Your eyes are going to get you in trouble, because it's going to get your heart in trouble because you're focusing on the wrong things. Very important point here that Jesus makes is in verse 24, when he says that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And I think this is a very simple point that Jesus makes, and one that it's probably everybody here has heard before and knows that you can't serve two masters. It's become one of those phrases that just about everybody knows, but it's something that people still try. They still try to serve two masters. They still try to straddle the fence. And you know, my dad used to say that there's some people that had just enough to religion to make them miserable, because they couldn't decide if they were going to serve God or they were going to serve the devil. They were serving the devil when they weren't making the right decision. But the point is that they had enough religion that they couldn't be happy in the world, because they'd be sinning and they'd be fearful that somebody else would see them, somebody that they knew. Maybe they'd be out drinking and they'd be we knew of an example of a guy that enjoyed going out and drinking with his friends, but he couldn't enjoy it enough to put the drink in front of him on the table. He'd put it off to the side because he was afraid one of the people that he knew from his congregation would see him. So, you know, can't even be happy sinning because he's afraid somebody's going to see him sinning. And so that really ties into what Jesus is saying here. You're going to serve one or the other, and if you're trying to serve both, you're just going to make yourself miserable, and you're certainly not going to be pleasing to God. So Jesus gives us this truth that we need to accept, that you cannot serve two masters. And you may think you can, but it's impossible for a divided heart to serve a master properly. We would certainly understand that in the marriage relationship. You know, if one of the spouses is distracted by being attracted to someone else or being involved with somebody else, how can they be the kind of husband or wife that they should be when their focus and their attention is on somebody else? And they may think that they can do that, but they can't. It obviously wouldn't work. They would be miserable and their spouse would be miserable. You cannot do that. And it's impossible for a divided heart to serve God properly. Either I'm putting hope in the treasures of earth, or I'm putting my hope in and joy and satisfaction into God in what He offers me. So you can't be faithful to God and try to serve both. Either you're serving God or you're serving the devil. There's not another option. So the things of this world, they are rivals to serving God. And what Jesus is saying here is that money is one of the greatest rivals of God's love, because people look at money to bring them security. They look at money to bring them happiness and peace and hope. And a Christian should turn away from the idol of money to the living God. So you need to think about what Jesus is teaching here. You can't store up treasures in both places. Your devotion is either with God and the pursuits that go along with that, or selfish pursuits and what goes along with that. You can't serve God and something else. So there's only one that can be on the throne. It's either going to be yourself or it's going to be God. It's going to be on the throne of your heart. They don't coexist. And so this is what Jesus is saying when he said you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him, that you're not in control of your life. You don't rule your life. You let God rule your life. You don't store up treasures on earth for yourself and think that you can have it both ways. That you need to do as Joshua said and serve and choose this day whom you'll serve. In one of the verses from Trust and Obey says this, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. That verse has always impressed me, because I think there's a lot of times we're just not really willing to lay it all out on the altar. That we can never prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. That's what Jesus is saying here. You cannot serve both. It's one or the other. And it's very true what that song says, that you don't begin to enjoy the delights of God's love if you haven't sacrificed the world. And so Jesus calls for his disciples to be truly honest with themselves and consider where it is that they are accumulating treasures. What is it that your eyes are focused on? What is it that you desire? What is it that takes up your time and your interest? What do you hope for? What is your goal in life? And when you think about those things, if you're not thinking about spiritual things, you're thinking about physical things or things that you can accumulate, then the emphasis is wrong. Jesus is presenting us here a choice between two ways of life. And there are two treasures. And we've seen that the treasures of this world, they fade away. I know the picture of the car was kind of humorous there, but back in the day, that I was really proud of having that, or that BlackBerry or whatever it might be. But you think about the things that people accumulate today and the things that control their interest and their time. Those things are going to pass away. Those things are not going to go anywhere. Those things are not eternal. We need to work towards something that is eternal and serve the right master. Make the right choice, because there's only two, as Jesus said. If we can help you to be obedient to the gospel, we'd invite you to do so as we stand together and sing.